You're tuned into tomorrow. Right here on the Advanced Media Network.
Guys, by now, you've heard the great news. If you've wanted to try Viagra or Cialis, but were worried about the price, Blue Pills Direct can finally give you the results you've been looking for. Why pay almost $15 per pill when you can get the same results you need for only $2 per pill? That's right. Call today and receive 50 blue pills or 50 yellow pills for only $99. That's only $2 per pill and saves you almost $500 from your local pharmacy. Why wait? Call 888-914-4247 today and finally have those breathtaking, toe-curling moments again and again. Call 888-914-4247 right now, and we'll rush your order discreetly packaged to your door. Just call 888-914-4247. That's 888-914-4247. Call 888-914-4247.
Welcome into Tomorrow with Dave Graveline, the interactive radio network program with the latest in high-tech products and services and the experts who bring them to you. This is Into Tomorrow. Here's Dave Graveline.
From the Dexcom G6 studios, make knowledge your superpower for managing type 1 diabetes. Visit DEXCOM.com. You are tuned into Tomorrow for the weekend of Friday, April 17th, 2020, as we continue our 25th year on the air covering the latest in consumer tech. Delighted to have you. As the announcer dude said, I am Dave Graveline here in our Miami studios.
Chris Graveline.
Hey, why are you Chris Graveline instead of just Chris Graveline?
I don't know.
Oh, in our Miami control room, Danny G. And editing the show and doing all the insertions and making us sound good, Erasmo out of his home in South Beach and Horatio out of his home in New York City. So we're all gathered here to do our thing. Oh, and Beth out of her home in Naples with tech tips and whatnot. But that's what we're doing. We're social distancing. We even measured Chris is 6 feet plus away from me across the studio. Plus, I won't let him breathe in the studio, even though all of us, thank God, are fine to this moment.
You check our temperature with the forehead thermometer before we even walk in the studio.
That's true. Every day, just zap. Okay, you're good to go. You may enter. And then you can take off the spacesuit now. Yeah. Very strange. I know that everybody listening, if you've gone out in public, I'm sure in most areas that you may be living and listening to us in, have required some sort of facial covering out in public. Not everywhere, but certainly where we are in Miami-Dade County, just north of us in Broward County, that's been a requirement. You've got to have some facial covering. And some people are getting quite creative. And others are just managing to come up with a couple of facial masks, regular surgical mask or something like that. It's just very odd because not only do you breathe your own hot breath, which is irritating, but you smell your own bad breath. And that's terrible, too.
So they need to mandate face coverings and mints for everybody.
Ah, that's it. So before you mask up, mint up. For your own protection.
Yes. So
maybe that would be a good thing to think about. Some tech news and commentary before we continue on. Of course, taking your calls. We do that, by the way, 24/7, anytime at your convenience, where you may have a tech question, a digital dilemma that we can solve. Perhaps you want to share some tech rage. Well, Erasmo's got the bleep button ready. So we can bleep you. Don't worry. We want you to just be yourself. If that includes a couple of four-letter words, that's fine. We'll make sure it doesn't get on the air. But just enjoy sharing with us anything about technology. Several people continue to call, and we love it, and just offer some congratulations on our 25th year on the air covering tech. And if you do, and we'd love to hear from you as well, then let us know what you liked most or least about technology in these last 25 years. Because I think that contributes to the show as well. It makes all of us think a little bit. It's like, oh, wow, that's true. I hated when that came out. Or that was really life-changing and major technology. It's kind of a reminiscent thing of Chris's This Week in Tech History. If you don't hear that regularly, my goodness, are you living under a rock? You have to check out the videos, too, at intotomorrow.com because you'll see Chris's mug And all the things he's talking about, too.
That's what everybody just wants to see.
Your mug.
Stuck at home staring at my mug.
I know. Yeah. And this week featuring a face mask. So you got to check that out. So
I guess I am now.
Yeah, you am now. And by the time they hear this, it's up.
Yeah.
And posted, and then they'll see what I mean.
Yeah.
That you did. Google and Apple, of course, working together. Who would have thunk it? On a Bluetooth-based software called Contact Tracing that will track cell phones' proximity to users who test positive for the coronavirus and send anonymized alerts. That's the key. It's all anonymous. There's no...
Sure.
Sure. Don't be a conspiracy theorist. I actually think that if they maintain the privacy and they're not sharing any personal information, they're not gathering personal information, presumably, and if we can trust Apple and Google, to which I would say, sure.
That's why I say sure. Because in theory, it's a great idea, and I completely agree with you, it's a great idea.
Yeah.
But can we trust them?
Well, but they'll allegedly, I'll say that until we know otherwise, will send these anonymous alerts to people that you were near. Okay, so the idea is, imagine this, you're unfortunately maybe in a grocery store, and if both of you have this app on your phone, it, unbeknownst to each other, you don't talk to each other or anything like that, but a Bluetooth range, which is 30, 35 feet, typically, then they'll just sort of connect and say, okay, shopper A and shopper B were near each other, and then it goes to, allegedly, an anonymous database where if people report that they ended up testing positive for coronavirus and you were shopper A and you're positive, then shopper B and anyone else that you were within Bluetooth range of will simply get an alert that says someone that you were near tested positive. So you might want to check with your healthcare professionals. To that, I think, terrific if it works like they're hoping.
And it doesn't open the door to all sorts of other things in the future. And that's the other worry.
Well, certainly lack of trust among consumers is what would threaten the success of this potentially working. The American Civil Liberties Union says the plan avoids the worst potential privacy violations, but still raises issues and requires many people, obviously, to participate to track the disease effectively. It kind of reminds me of when we've got a vaccine, those people who refuse to get it are not helping the problem.
And that's the other kind of dangerous thing, which again, you know, I'm not an anti-vaxxer. If the vaccine's out, I'm going to get it.
Me too.
But that also opens the door to this. Then can this then somehow know who has done the vaccine and then alert people, oh, you were near somebody that hasn't had the vaccine? And
might be okay, again, if it's still anonymized, right? If it's still just simply information that you might want to know about. And if you got the vaccine and it's proving to work well with people, then maybe you have nothing to worry about, but thought, well, it's a good thing I got it, right? That might be an issue. But with vaccine scenarios, you know, some people don't believe in them. Well, folks, please believe in this one when it comes out, because we don't need another pandemic. So from what we can see so far, your privacy is maintained with this tool. We will certainly keep an eye on it for you and try to see what's happening. But what do you think as well? We want to know what you, our audience, thinks about this whole thing. Will you snag this app? Will you participate anonymously in this? Again, from what I can tell you, I believe this will help, and I believe it won't give out personal information. I hope I'm not wrong, but again, we're going to keep an eye on it for you, and we'll let you know.
Yeah, well, if there's anybody I trust less than the government, it's Apple and Google, so we'll see.
Great. Well, let's see what happens. 800-899-INTO. That's 800-899-4686, or use the Into Tomorrow app. Let us know. Any Anyone living with diabetes knows how difficult tracking your glucose levels can be. That's where Dexcom's G6 Continuous Glucose Monitor comes in. Here's Dexcom CEO Kevin Sayer.
Somebody managing their diabetes prior to CGM would stick their finger anywhere between 4 and 8 or 12 times a day if they're really trying to manage their blood glucose values. And with that finger prick, all you get is a number.
With the G6 system, you get glucose readings sent right to your smart device or receiver with zero finger pricks.
We get a glucose reading every 5 minutes automatically.
That tells you where your glucose levels are heading, and that makes managing your diabetes very easy.
We just see a tremendous improvement in overall health care. A1Cs go down, time spent high decreases, time spent low decreases, and not only is everybody happier, they get healthier as well.
Make knowledge your superpower with the Dexcom G6 Continuous Glucose Monitoring System. Learn more at Walgreens or at Dexcom.com. Welcome back into tomorrow. I'm Dave Graveline. Thanks for joining us. Even more importantly, we thank you for joining us when you do call in and participate on the program. Not just because Cameron reminds you to call in and win stuff, but because that's the key. You make the show. When you join us with your question, your comment, your tech rage, your concern, maybe even some help for another listener, we love those calls as well. Then you make the program, and that's what it's all about. We want to hear from you. So let us solve your digital dilemmas anytime, 24/7. You can either call the 800 number that I'm about to give you. Here, I've got a pen. Ready? Or you can use the audio option on the free Into Tomorrow app. Just search those two words in your favorite app store, Into Tomorrow. I'm sure you already have the Into Tomorrow app. But if you don't, be sure and snag it. And then use that audio option. It says message the studio, and it's very easy to do. Or 800-899-4686 anytime. 800-899-INTO. Our next guest provides forecasts on business and economic trends, as well as what to expect from Washington. Boy, there's a job. He's the senior associate editor of the Kiplinger Letter, John Miley. John, welcome into tomorrow. How you doing?
Doing great. Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure to have you. I ran across a great article that you recently wrote, and I said, we've got to get John on the show because you hit the nail on the head on so many issues. In this case, we're talking about your article entitled 12 Ways COVID-19 Will Change the Tech Industry. And boy, it's changing life for all of us as we know it, but most certainly the tech industry as well. Let's talk about the impact that COVID-19 has had on this industry.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that's very obvious to people is working from home, online traffic is up. So we were looking at the idea that even more of daily life will take place online and trying to think of different ways that might not be as obvious. I mean, if you haven't downloaded your insurance app or your banking app, people will do that. Obviously, people are doing a lot more video calls, e-commerce, signing up for more accounts than they ever thought about. We also think that people might consider backup Wi-Fi hotspots from the cellular carrier. They might upgrade their internet speeds at home. And I think a lot of those things are going to be long-lasting if people are going to either expect they're going to be working from home more often or just want to do it just in case that's going to be what's going to happen.
And I think, John, some of the things that you talk about, as you just mentioned, even maybe we don't even think about. You know, I think a lot of our audience listening right now is thinking, oh, my gosh, you're right. I really need to download my banking app that I would normally just do on my desktop at work or something because that's where I've done it. Or you know, the insurance app. It's like, yeah, what if I need something like that? You should do it now. And without wanting to jinx any of us, frankly, I'm a little surprised that the internet has held up the way it has up to now with so much more activity, especially the bandwidth being consumed with everybody streaming video.
Yeah, and I think that will continue to be the case. I've written some stories and talked to people about that just our networks in general are designed to handle peak traffic at nighttime. So even if there's peak traffic throughout the day, they're still doing well. You might see the Zoom video conference meeting downgraded, maybe the quality of the video. But otherwise, things are holding up, and I think that's going to continue to happen.
One of your key points in your Kiplinger letter talks about the digitization for even the last holdouts. And you show perhaps a somewhat elderly woman with a pen and paper who's now in front of her computer. And I think that's hitting that nail on the head again, too, about how daily life changing for all people. And certainly the elderly are having to deal with some things perhaps they haven't dealt with in terms of using their tech.
Yeah, for sure. And for me, when you mentioned the insurance app, that was the thing that I was like, well, geez, I should download this. But there certainly are, when they do studies or they do polling, there's still people that are holdouts. And this is sort of, I mean, you can't leave the house. You got to figure out different ways to do all sorts of stuff, whether you haven't signed up for your online DMV processing, stuff like that. I think that's what's going to push people. And in some ways, this could be good for the local, well, again, this is a huge tragedy, but for the local small business, that people are going to download that app if it's a delivery place, and they haven't yet, so people will be more ready in the future.
And one of the other effects that you see as being a result of COVID is certainly a lot more computers, printers, other consumer IT gear, if you will. In this case, IT doesn't stand for Into Tomorrow, but information technology gear that will see a prolonged spike in interest. It certainly will once we get over this and we can actually go out and shop for more stuff. In the meantime, shopping online, if companies are going to ship a computer to you, you need a new laptop or something, maybe now's the time anyway, hopefully.
Yeah, and I think some people were seeing that in my business, too, people that needed to, oh, geez, I don't have the right computer at home. And you saw a sales spike, I think, early March, late February, where people sort of started shifting to remote work, everyone that could, that had sort of office jobs. And like Dell saw a little bit of an increase in PC sales in the first quarter of this year. But now what you're talking about is right. People can't go out and shop. So I think once things get back to a slightly new normal, you'll see again another spike of people wanting to prepare their home offices or their homes with better equipment, whether that's a bigger screen or a new laptop.
I like how you snuck in the new normal. I'm using the air quotes because that is what it's going to be in many aspects of our lives. And again, certainly how technology plays a role, too. It's going to still be a new normal regardless.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, the other thing I mentioned is the biometric fingerprint readers seeing a decline. And I would add to that any panels, whether it's touchscreen panels that you order at a restaurant, or airline kiosks or things like that, people might start using their mobile phones more often. Maybe companies will need to focus more on how their mobile apps work. They might need to clean them more often. But it, in terms of biometrics, you'll see more contact-free facial recognition and iris detection. Mm. So companies that build that type of thing and those methods will see an increased interest, I think.
Yeah, in fact, my son, Chris, was talking about he never thought he'd be going to the public supermarket and having to just use the app on his phone, but realizes he doesn't have to touch that keypad anymore. He doesn't have to punch in his PIN or anything else, because it doesn't even have to put a credit card into a slot and then punch in a zip code or any of that, because obviously stores, and I've been doing this with my Target app for, I don't know, as long as they've offered it, where just scan the app on my phone. I don't touch anything. And that was long before the pandemic. But now more and more people are saying, well, this is where technology is making a difference. And why wouldn't we be doing this moving forward into tomorrow, not just now?
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. And it's some of those things that, like, if you use them, you realize that they worked pretty well.
Yeah.
But it was sort of, how do you get a mass of people to start using this? And this is definitely the type of event that could change the way people do things like that.
Yeah, it's unfortunate, but again, another maybe advantage in the long run of this. What's happening like in the robotics industry? Is do you think that's becoming more active as a result of COVID-19?
Yeah, one of the things I looked at was the idea that industrial robots, anything that you'd see in a factory for automation, will be hurt in the short term because of declining sales and manufacturers not operating and supply chain having issues. But in the long term, I think there'll be more investment in this for businesses that can do it. We're wanting to prepare with more automation. And sometimes in industrial robotics, there are applications that manufacturers are hesitant to use because the return on investment takes a long time or they're really expensive. So they might be interested in new applications that they previously were more hesitant on if they could prevent this or help sort of improve things without having to use as many people in different processes.
Certainly other good points. And you say maybe in the short term, it's not going to be a great business, but in the long run, it's certainly going to pick up more so, and how more things will be automated. I mean, look what's happened, again, even long before the pandemic, with fewer and fewer people working in McDonald's and Burger King, and you have to go in and use a kiosk. Well, now nobody wants to touch the thing, even if you can go in. But in the future, the same thing applies. I mean, I always use the knuckle. And, you know, it just because who knows what's on that screen, right? And we see that whole opportunity, I think, similar. You know, I mean, before the pandemic, I was ordering Taco Bell with my phone, too, just so I could drive through and pick it all up because it was convenient. Well, now you have to do that if you want that kind of a fast food.
Yeah, and some of the robots that they... you can have robots that bring around medicine and meals and supplies to patients, and they have some of those at hotels too. So things like that, those are things that just people and consumers could see for physical robots, and then whatever robotics they would use in warehouses that are around people, all that type of thing, there's definitely going to be more interest in.
John, let me interrupt just for a couple of moments. Let us pay a couple of bills. There's so much more we want to talk about. We're talking with John Miley, the Senior Associate Editor for Kiplinger, here on Into Tomorrow. Stay tuned.
Attention all timeshare owners. Is this what you'd like to do with your timeshare contract? Do you own a timeshare and just want out? Thousands of timeshare owners are getting out of their timeshare contracts. With the help of Timeshare Compliance, Timeshare Compliance can legally terminate, tear up, shred, eliminate, trash your timeshare agreement, ending your payments forever, saving you thousands. So whether you're a victim of a high-pressure, dishonest sales agent, or you were misled with what you were buying, or you overpaid and they underdelivered, call Timeshare Compliance now for a free consultation. With one simple call, the trusted professionals at Timeshare Compliance can legally rip up your timeshare agreement and help rip up your financial suffering. You could save thousands. Call now before another payment is due. Timeshare Compliance is A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau. Call 800-617-2610. 800-617-2610. 800-617-2610.
Welcome back into Tomorrow. I'm Dave Graveline. We're talking with the Senior Associate Editor of Kiplinger, John Miley, in your Kiplinger Letter article about 12 ways COVID-19 will change the tech industry. You talk about this whole pandemic being a real major setback for 5G as well. How so?
Yeah, this is something we've been covering, and this was a big year, is a lot more commercialization of the standards for sort of the new standards of cellular wireless for faster wireless and internet connections. I think the supply chain issues from China will make it harder to get whatever equipment or gear is needed, whether that's antennas or computer chips. And it might slow down new Apple smartphones that have 5G chips in them. So I think definitely in the near term, it could slow down that. And the other thing is the adoption of 5G in factories, in business settings. I think Qualcomm and others have been pushing this, and lots of business were interested to do this year, which would require a new investment, another return on investment. It would pay off in the long run, but they might hold off on adding sensors and other things into the factories that might help them collect data and make things more efficient.
And, of course, I think you have a lot of folks now suddenly panicking, what do you mean I might not get my new phone? And, well, yeah, because, again, look at the supply chain, as you just mentioned, John. A lot of stuff, until we move things back here into the U.S., are coming from China. And you probably have seen the memes about, well, COVID-19 is not going to last long because it comes from China. Nothing lasts long from China, right? And you know, and a little bit of a sense of humor kind of also tells a story, because they cut a lot of corners in manufacturing, typically, not always, but typically. And maybe some of the products you're getting, what you wonder why they're so less expensive, well, it's because they're not the quality that you might otherwise be paying for. I'm certainly guessing that would be the case with smartphones from not only Apple, but Samsung and everybody else for that matter, and tablets, laptops, you know, the Chromebooks, anything where you have to depend on an area of the world, in this case China, that may or may not be in a position to be making these things or for us to buy from them.
Yeah, and the smartphone market is definitely dominated by manufacturing in China.
Oh, yeah.
Another point is the idea that a lot of people buy smartphones and other devices at a Best Buy, at retail outlets, at cellular carriers, physical storefronts, and that dings those sales too. So people can buy online, but because so much is done there, and then people might be holding off because of their own personal situation where they might not want to make that purchase if they don't have to.
Hmm. That's another good point, and something that you don't necessarily think about until something like this occurs. One of the other interesting things you talked about was how demand will soar for telehealth services, which, of course, have been given a jolt by what's been happening these days. I know several people, including in my family, that managed to do a telehealth call with their doctor and do a little FaceTime if you have an Apple device, or otherwise just a video conference call where the doctor can see your sore throat. Nope, it's tonsillitis. Don't worry. It's not, you know, it's not COVID. I'm going to call in a prescription for you. Don't even have to go into the office. So certainly telehealth is going to expand as a result of this. Yes?
Oh, yeah. And it's funny you mentioned that personal situation, because my wife this morning was doing a telehealth video conference. It's one of those things that workplaces would promote. Please use this telehealth service. It comes with your health plan. And I wonder sometimes if many people really haven't used it often. And now you're just going to see people using it. I suspect people are going to like it if it's a routine thing that, or they have a sore throat or something like that that's not serious. You can use that. I mentioned the Federal Communications Commission having $200 million in emergency telehealth funding for sort of at-need places. And that was one example, but you sort of see other examples of companies sort of racing to do this. Regulations being loosened to sort of help this. A lot of people are cheering this on that have been hoping that telehealth would sort of increase not only consumer interest, but also be easier to do for doctors and hospitals and other medical professionals.
I love your example of how it's kind of like shifting from Blockbuster to Netflix. You know, we're so used to going into the doctor because that's what we always did. But now we should be doing telehealth. And the fact that companies like it more, think about this. There's a reason for that. And that is the company likes it because you don't have to take 2-3 hours off to go to the doctor. And instead, you can just telehealth even from the company, from the office, if need be. And there you go, your doctor visit. Now they've called in a prescription for you, perhaps, and all's good, you know, and then you feel much better in the long run. Of course, doctors typically are still going to charge you an office visit for telehealth, but it might be a little less expensive. It certainly beats the hassle of having to physically go there. And it's not going to work for everything, obviously. Your doctor still needs to see you. It's funny because I got an email from my doctor's office group that says, remember, we're here for you. And part of the reason is because they're bored to tears. You know, they're keeping a skeletal staff. Very few people are going into the doctor's office. And if it's not telehealth, they're waiting maybe to get one patient a day now that's walking in because they had an appointment. And they're seeing them because they're taking proper precautions. But I think the same thing with dentists, doctor's offices that are still open. It's like Can we do anything for you? Is there anything you need? When's the last time you had a good teeth cleaning? While you're here, let's do that, you know. And to that extent, you know, it's also keeping them in business, to hopefully to some degree. But interesting how telehealth will most certainly make a difference in our lives now and into tomorrow. One last quick thing before we take a break. What does the outbreak mean, do you think, for virtual reality?
One of the areas that's going to see a lot more interest is, I guess, the augmented reality, the smart glasses that will overlay a little bit of digital information but have a camera on them. So someone remotely, I was talking about someone remotely can help an electrician or a mechanic fix things. And I thought this particularly would see demand if the travel restrictions continue to hamper different businesses sending out remote crews. Mm. So Vuzix, Epson, they sell these glasses that are Wi-Fi connected, so you can the maintenance people can talk to experts somewhere else. And this could be someone that might be a trainee or someone that just doesn't have the exact skills, but that other person that's operating remotely can't travel but does have that expertise and can talk over the microphone and things like that. And I also mentioned Microsoft HoloLens, which is, to me, I think is one of the most advanced augmented reality headset. I think there'll be more interest in, we keep doing these virtual meetings on Zoom and online. Can we make them more lifelike? Is there anything we can add to make them better? Feeling like you're on a job site or a construction site, and I think Microsoft could benefit there from figuring out different applications and seeing more interest.
Very true. Imagine being in a VR meeting where you're virtually sitting in the same office with them, and it's not just a Zoom meeting, you know. So there's all sorts of things that can develop from this. John, you are a delight to chat with. I can already tell we've got to get you on the show more frequently, so every time you're talking about tech, I want to know about it. Senior Associate Editor for Kiplinger. You can visit their site, of course, at kiplinger.com. We'll get you there too when you visit us at intotomorrow.com. John, thanks so much for spending some time and joining us Into Tomorrow.
Thanks for having me.
We're back with more as Into Tomorrow continues. I'm Dave Graveline right here on the Advanced Media Network.
Do you owe $10,000 or more on at least two federal student loans? Then you may qualify for new programs offered by the Department of Education. These programs can reduce your interest, lower your payments, and possibly qualify you for loan forgiveness. If you have $10,000 or more and at least two federal student loans and currently not in school, you may qualify for one of these programs. Call now to check your eligibility. Student loan advisors are standing by to help you determine if you qualify for these new programs. They can help you reduce your interest, lower your payment, and even forgive a portion of your student loan debt. Take control of your financial future. Make this free 5-minute free call now to Nationwide Student Loans and learn how you can reduce your student loan debt.
800-817-2939. 800-817-2939. 800-817-2939. 800-817-2939.
Congratulate Into Tomorrow on their 25 years. And I wanted to say that I've been working at a job for 24 years. And when I started, technology was non-existent almost. And what I really like about the technology is being able to communicate through the emails and not using so much paper anymore, storing stuff on our network. So I really like the technology that we have today compared to years ago.
Well, thank you, Barbara in Fairbanks, Alaska. See, that's what we're looking forward to. We appreciate the congratulations on our 25th year, but tell us what technology did in your life. Has it made a difference, good or bad, in these last 25 years especially? And hopefully, if you're a longtime listener, you've heard us talking about a whole lot of tech that have had come and gone. And, of course, what was the most exciting thing when we first went on the air that we talked about? This whole new thing called
DVD. That was covered on our very first show of Into Tomorrow on January 6, 1996.
Woof. So that's why we're in our 25th year now. Yeah. But yes, this new thing called DVD, nobody heard of it. And what is it going to do? And what is it anyway? And why do we care? And obviously, it took off like crazy.
Yes.
And not only for video, but for data storage, for all sorts of things.
And gone.
That's right.
It's mostly gone now.
That's true. Come and gone since we've been on the air, like a lot of other things. And we can talk about those as well. I'm Dave Graveline.
I'm Chris Graveline. This portion of Into Tomorrow is brought to you in part by StreamGuys.com, providing the 24/7 stream of Into Tomorrow on our website at IntoTomorrow.com and on the Into Tomorrow app.
Jump aboard the time machine.
You got mail.
Time to head into yesterday with This Week in Tech History.
History.
Here's Chris.
Chris is history. See you later then. Is that your way of firing me?
No, I wouldn't dare. We're trying to apply for PPP, so I have to keep you employed. Payroll Protection Program.
Oh. Yeah. Okay. This week in 1971, the Soviet Union launched Salyut 1, the very first space station. Salyut 1 spent 175 days in orbit before re-entering the Earth's atmosphere and breaking apart over the Pacific Ocean. The Salyut program followed this with five more successful launches. The final module of the program became the core of the Russian segment of the International Space Station and remains in orbit today.
All systems are functioning within normal parameters.
In 1972, this week, the Apollo 16 lunar module, commanded by John Young and piloted by Charles Duke, landed on the moon. The module enjoyed a three-day stay on the moon, and the crew spent a total of 20 hours and 14 minutes exploring the surface of the moon.
Let's get nuts!
In 1977 this week, fiber optic cables were first used to carry live telephone traffic. Optical communication began way back in the 1790s with the invention of the optical semaphore telegraph. Today, more than 80% of long-distance telephone and data traffic is still carried over fiber optic cables.
Great googly moogly.
This week in 1990, the Space Shuttle Discovery was launched from Kennedy Space Center in Florida, carrying the $1.5 billion Hubble Space Telescope. The Space Telescope was named after American astronomer Edwin P. Hubble. And this week, in 2005, the first ever YouTube video was uploaded by co-founder Jawed Karim. Yeah, pretty much.
Yes, but do you know, Danny? She was like, oh, how cool, YouTube. Do you know what the first YouTube video was about?
I was about to get to it before you interrupted me.
But she already has the answer, but you're going to share it with the rest of us.
The 19-second video titled Me at the Zoo was shot by his high school friend at the San Diego Zoo in front of the elephant exhibit. Today, about 300 hours of video are uploaded to YouTube every minute.
That's 300 hours
are uploaded every minute.
Every minute.
Yes.
Wow. So I don't want to ever hear anybody complain they've got nothing to watch.
Exactly.
Because you could watch all of it and still...
Now here's something we hope you'll really like.
Have more to enjoy.
That's our look back at This Week in Tech History, brought to you by IFA in Berlin, the global innovation show since 1924 for consumer tech and home appliances, and by IFA Next, the launchpad for innovations. Get more info at ifa-berlin.com.
We shall do just that, and if all goes well, fingers and eyes crossed, we'll be there for our 18th year broadcasting from IFA in Berlin in September. And since this awesome show, huge show, all about consumer tech, home appliances, smart home, all sorts of innovations, is open to the public, unlike CES, if you get a chance and you need to escape from reality, boy, do we all, join us in Berlin in September. Ken in Smyrna, Tennessee. Welcome into tomorrow, Ken.
I need to find something to boost the signal from a rural cell phone area that is very spotty. My friend calls me and we have very difficult communication. Receiving is normally fairly well on my end, but transmitting out to my friend is spotty. Is there anything that will boost the signal so we can communicate better? By the way, I am blind, and I rely on this friend quite a bit.
Well, Ken, that's a good question, too, and I'm glad if we're hopefully able to help you out. If you don't have a good signal outside, there's not much you can do that will change that. You can try repeaters, and those may work if they have large and powerful antennas to be able to capture a signal to begin with. But typically, unless there's an okay signal somewhere, then there's nothing to repeat in the first place, which means maybe you're better off even changing carriers or something. Find a friend that's on a different network, different carrier, and how does their phone work and their devices work well? Wi-Fi, of course, is a viable solution for calls that happen within your home. Most phones and carriers offer Wi-Fi calling these days, so you should be able to just connect your phone to your home network and use it as if it was using a regular cellular connection.
Now, if you're on the go, WeBoost makes a repeater for cars, but my guess is that it doesn't apply in your case since you say this is a friend that you rely on, so it's likely that he's helping you with the driving more often than other people.
Yeah, I would guess, too. Now, something you might want to look into are devices called femtocells, microcells, or even metrocells. These devices are their own tiny cell phone tower, if you will. The first two are great to use indoors, while metro cells are good for outdoor use. Whichever you choose, each needs to be connected to high-speed internet, of course, to be able to work well. Now, unfortunately, these do take up a pretty good chunk of bandwidth. They also are generally carrier-specific, so it'd be a lot easier to go through your own cell phone carrier to get one of these, and they almost all offer them, sometimes at a ridiculously expensive price, but let them know your situation.
Yeah, now, the other option is a little more old-fashioned, using an external antenna or a cell phone booster like we mentioned earlier. We talked about the car ones, but they also have them to install in your home.
Yeah.
Now, they do tend to work well as long as you do have a usable signal outside your home that it can then bring inside your home.
And that's a very important point, too. We tell people all the time, if there's an issue, but you've got an area somewhere around the house, it might be the back bedroom, it might be, you know, the kitchen window, where you've got good signal, well, then that's where you're going to want to put this unit, to then repeat that good signal around the house. Ken, let us know what works best for you, and we can share that knowledge with the rest of our audience. And all of our notes, of course, are for you at intotomorrow.com. Just look for the show for April 17th, and again at intotomorrow.com.
Nothing is more important than protecting your family and property. That's why you should make a free call right now to Vivint, the number one smart home services provider in the U.S. Vivint will make your home safer and more secure with a state-of-the-art system that's so simple to use. Vivint smart home specialists provide award-winning monitoring of your system 24/7, 365 to respond to any emergency, even when you can't. And with the 4.5-star rated Vivint smart home mobile app, control your entire house from anywhere. Locks, cameras, security system, all at your fingertips. Tips on your mobile device. Call Vivint now and get a free quote, professional installation, and full smart home service for as little as $2 per day. Equipment purchase or service agreement required. Conditions apply. Call now. A smart home is a safer home. So protect your family and your property, home or business, with a Vivint smart home system.
Call 800-689-3005. 800-689-3005. That's 800-689-3005. 800-689-3005.
Here's yet another Into Tomorrow tech tidbit for you to use around your virtual water cooler. Coca-Cola owns all website URLs that can be read as, right? Because of their commercials, Papa Coke and, get this, all the way up to 62 H's. Now, isn't that silly?
Well, I mean, you own all the URLs that could be any possible misspelling of the word tomorrow.
For into tomorrow. Well, that's true. That's because it's one of those words that is often misspelled.
Just by you.
Not by me. I know how to spell the name of our show. I-N-T-O. It's easy. But a lot of people misspell tomorrow when they're typing it out as a URL. Trust me. So we have all of the different variations. But I don't have 62 of them. And they have all the way up to 62 H's for I wouldn't even take the time to try to do 62 H's. We only have a minute in this segment. So I could do Coca-Cola, I'm already tired. So see, I'm not going to bore you for the whole minute. But that's how that goes.
And they didn't even pay us for this segment.
Yeah, I know. And now I want a Coke and a smile.
But you know
with
who
an,
did?
Yes.
But you know who did? HughesNet, because this portion is brought to you by HughesNet. High-speed satellite internet available where you live or work. Text the word radio to 35,000 for more info. Again, text the word radio to 35,000.
You know, you would make my day if you subscribe to our free once-a-week tech newsletter.
Go ahead.
Make my day. IntoTomorrow.com. Little box pops up if the internet gods are with us. And you put only your email address in there. And we don't share it with anyone. We haven't in 25 years. We're not going to do it in the future at all. It's private. We keep it that way. But then watch for the subsequent email that says confirm, and you're in at intotomorrow.com.